Wake up.
It's your early breakfast
with Africa Milani.
11 minutes, it is past 5 o'clock this Monday morning. It was on Thursday last week when a full sitting of the City of Cape Town gave the green light for public participation process to begin concerning the construction of more than 700 social housing units within the city's central business district and other urban centres on the metro. Adi Kuma is the executive director of Ndifuna Ukwazi, a not-for-profit organisation that works in the space that looks to address issues of spatial planning, particularly in Cape Town. Adi, lovely to have you on the radio. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
When you look at the plans for the City of Cape Town, as far as social housing is concerned, are we moving in the right direction?
Generally, yes. I mean, it's a positive step forward, although it has to be said that these sites that have been earmarked for social housing aren't new. These are part of a portfolio that was released back in 2017 already. So it isn't something new, but it's definitely a step forward that these sites were presented in council and shared and approved for social housing officially through the process.
Sites include Pickwick Property in Salt River that will have a 1,800 unit development there, 600 of which will be social housing. The MACO member for Human Settlements, Madusi Boy, saying that the proposed New Market Street land release in central Cape Town includes about 165 social housing units. And this is something, Adi, that you and your organization and others who speak in the space have been asking the city to do, because this is generally city-owned property, right, that they could release for social housing a lot earlier than this.
That's correct. I mean, there is a clear obligation on the city to release and make use of public land, particularly city-owned land, for redress. And one of the best ways of doing that is through social housing. So this is precisely what we've been asking for. There was a portfolio of about 11 sites that had been originally earmarked for social housing. So these two sit within that portfolio. So like I said earlier, like generally a step in the right direction, still I think quite a bit of time before the construction starts and actual people move into these social housing projects. But yeah, generally a very positive sign.
Where are the other low-hanging fruit to be found then? Because ultimately here we're talking about 760 social housing opportunities. The need and the demand for social housing in Cape Town is far greater than that.
Absolutely. So there are a number of other pieces of vacant land that could be utilized both by the city and the province, which are unencumbered by any kind of like development applications or any of the existing conditions. So those lands could be brought into play. Coupled with kind of social housing, there's a real need to produce housing for the people that are living on the street at the moment. So options like transitional housing could be used as a way of getting people off the street, especially the homeless people that are living in extreme dire conditions at the moment, especially given the weather in Cape Town at the moment.
And who should be leading the charge, Adi? We saw, for example, in the student accommodation space, a dire shortage that was noted every year by the higher education sector, and the developers came up with a solution. Now, in Cape Town, if you drive through parts of Salt River, Observatory, Mowbray, Ranabosh, you see these buildings that are going up that are all offering student accommodation solutions. In fact, at the Cape Town station in the center of town, the massive construction there that's going on will provide 3,000 units for student accommodation. But it seems that it was the developers who came to the city and say, here's a model that we think can work. Obviously, approvals were granted, and now we've got solutions everywhere as far as student accommodation is concerned. Should we follow a similar route when it comes to social housing?
Well, yes and no. So the good thing about social housing is that it is regulated by the Social Housing Act, which means it gives very specific requirements in terms of what rental you can charge. And the purpose is really to make affordable rentals in the inner city so that people who are earning anywhere between 1,800 and 22,000 rand can live in the inner city. So it's really meant for people to move, people who've been previously disadvantaged to move into the two well-located areas. So there are advantages of involving the private developers in the development of social and affordable housing. But the conditions in which the public land is made available to private developers has to be very clear. So while social housing is very regulated, any other form of affordable housing that's produced has to be has to be clearly earmarked and clearly defined. So who is it affordable for? Is it for ownership? Because social housing is always for rental. It is never meant for ownership. In perpetuity, it's always meant for people who are wanting a step up into living in the inner city. But if the private developers enter in this market, it's most likely going to be for ownership. And in that instance, it's very important to define affordable for who, affordable for how long, so that it remains affordable in the longer term and not just, you know, affordable for one family and they sell on. And then all of a sudden that unit is lost to the market.
But what we're not seeing, though, Adi, and I'm sure it's not unique to the city of Cape Town, it's the same in Joburg, in eThekwini, in Tshwane, and all these other municipalities and metros, the metros are not building new units that are then available for them to have absolute control over as far as rent that is being asked and demanded and accommodating those in need.
Absolutely. So, I mean, housing delivery has shrunk. I mean, probably about like 8 to 10 years ago, even the city of Cape Town used to say they produce anywhere between 8,000 and 15,000 housing units. And that has significantly declined now. The current IDP says that they'll probably produce about 8,000 service sites over 5 years. So there's a significant decline in kind of delivery of housing by government itself. So the answer lies somewhere in between a form of housing that's delivered by government and definitely something that's delivered by social housing companies and significant component probably delivered by the private sector, but it has to be done in a way that ensures that, you know, we just don't lose public land to the market, which would be a complete disaster.
I was at the Western Cape Property Development Forum annual meeting on Thursday. The meeting continued on Friday as well. And what was interesting to note there, Adi, is the micro developer and how, quite frankly, micro development, particularly in the township areas, is what the number one leading provider of housing solutions is. Should we not be investing in them more?
Absolutely. So I think there are a number of regulatory kind of instruments that could be used by the city to encourage and perhaps even manage the production of these micro developments and micro developers in a much more productive way. So while this industry is going up, there's a lot of undercutting in terms of regulation and bypassing planning and building regulations. So there is a way in which the city could definitely encourage that piece. Perhaps making some of the regulations easier, perhaps encouraging some of these things. But I think in this debate of micro developers, it shouldn't be lost that like literally millions of people across the country are living in very terrible conditions in backyard shacks. And so a balance needs to be found between kind of the urgency to produce kind of micro development units in the backyard, but also addressing the needs of the historical backyarders, like especially in Mitchell's Plain and other areas.
All right, we'll leave it there, Adi. Thank you very much for your time and your reflections this morning. Adi Kuma is the executive director of Ndifuna Ukwazi, a not-for-profit organization that does a lot of work around spatial planning and development in metros like the city of Cape Town.